Hello and welcome to the 16th Planet Destiny podcast. We are filming this on Wednesday, pretty close to after the Prison of Elders reveal, and we got Pope Bear here, we got Briar Rabbit here, we got Tefty here, and then we are joined by the legendary, the one and only Triple Wreck. How are you today, sir?
All right, I wouldn't go that far, but thank you. It's great to be here. Always down to talk some Destiny for sure.
And as some of you guys out there are probably like, well, what? Why the hell did you guys bring Triple Wreck on? Because he does PvP. Well, actually, you cleared through hard mode Crota first. You're quite the PvE, accomplished PvE player as well.
Yeah, well, you know, like, I was initially interested in Destiny for the PvP aspects, but, you know, when the game came out, I actually really enjoyed the raids because, you know, I've really played a lot of other, you know, MMORPGs or anything. So, like, the whole, you know, pseudo-competitive co-op experience was not something I've ever done before. So, going through those raids for the first time, Vault of Glass, you know, normal mode, hard mode, that stuff, it was like, it got me really into it. And, you know, so, understandably, I'm excited for things like Trials of Osiris and stuff with House of Wolves. But, you know, the Prison of Elders, it's something that, you know, a lot of people are looking forward to. And I am legitimately excited based off, you know, what we got to see today.
Definitely, definitely. I'd like to kind of go around the table here, and I guess we'll just start with Triple. What are your just initial impressions from what we saw in the stream today? I know we didn't actually get to see them go entirely through it. Pope and I have actually played through 32 and 34 difficulties, but from you guys who are just now seeing this, what's your impression of it?
Well, I mean, a lot of people have been asking for a long time, like, can we get some kind of horde mode, something wave based, something, you know, that's gonna spice up, you know, other than having just run strikes or strike playlists for the people that are really into PvE. And I think this is gonna make them very happy. You know, it's disappointing not to have a raid. You know, I don't think anyone's like happy we didn't get a raid, but I think that they're not quite as disappointed now that they see that there's a lot of variety and longevity here to have from the Prison of Elders based on what we've seen, because they're going to be able to rotate a lot of stuff, the weapons, you know, the modifiers, you know, the enemies you're facing. And, you know, even the fact that you can play through, the three different leveled arenas, per character per week. And then there's a lot of unknowns as well, especially the level 35. So I think it's gonna be good. Understandably, I had some people on Twitter already messaging me like, you know, I'm not impressed, or it doesn't look that special. And I understand, because there's unique gameplay that we've seen in the raids that is like nowhere else in Destiny, which is great. So I think it's cool because it's intense and it's definitely a challenge. And, you know, I think it's going to be good. I'm excited.
I'm excited about it. Very excited. I think it's a huge step in the right direction for the PvE side of Destiny. I think the fact that they're finally introducing all these modifiers in the middle of these rounds, I mean, the whole experience obviously is brand new, but a lot of it takes from the strike aspect. So if you think about rock strikes and then introduce modifiers, or, you know, sometimes we call them skulls because of the history of Halo, that is a lot of what people have been asking for. So they're putting it into this Prison of Elders experience, and I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to see what happens when you clear it, because obviously Deej apparently doesn't like Fatebringer when he uses arc damage.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand why he wasn't using it.
I know.
He had it in his inventory too. Anyways, I don't want to go on a tangent about that, but it looks amazing. I can't wait to see at the end. There is a little bit of me, though, that feels like it's Strikes 2.0. You know, like you have regular strikes, and then Prison of Elders is like an evolution of a horde mode strike type of thing. So a little strange that it's split up like that. Like there is a possibility that they could have integrated the two in that sense. But I'm not on the Bungie design team, so obviously I have limited experience. I'm just giving my initial impressions on that. So I'm very excited about it, but there's a little bit that's like, huh, this is kind of like Strikes 2.0.
So. Yeah, I think most of that similarity that you're getting is from the fact that there's different difficulty levels. There's 35, 34, 32, which are all like you have to go in with a single three-man team that you form yourself but the strike similarity is mainly from the 28 mode, which can be done just like a rock strike, pretty much. You can just go...
Exactly, and you get reputation and marks. But I'm very excited about what they're doing with the PvE side of this. Very excited, so...
I'm really excited, too. What I saw in the stream today was that there were objectives in these arenas. There was randomness. You know, you might go in with a different modifier than you saw last week, which was really exciting. That's something that I wish was in Nightfalls, you know, is that, or just regular strikes, is that you could just kind of redo them and turn on modifiers as you go. I loved how these things look like they're these enclosed containers where you're not going to be able to sit up on a cliff and snipe down to cheese the whole thing.
Definitely.
You know, we don't know that yet, right? It'll take a million
Someone
players.
Will find a way. Someone will find a way.
But I hope that is the case, because it looked like I was really looking at kind of the walls and like the hidey holes, and it didn't look like there was going to be any place for you could just, that you could just hide for, you know, 10 minutes to just snipe down at everything. And
so
that makes me really excited.
You're just thrown into the Colosseum, and then there's just hordes of enemies just onslaughting you, so... I remember, I think Datto, he released a video and he was talking about that, like, all the areas are very, very circular. And so there's not a lot of, like, I can just post up in this tiny corner and just wait. No, it's like, you have to be constantly on the move. You got to be working with your teammates.
And that's what makes it dynamic. Yeah. You know, that's what makes it fun. If you go to, what's the Will of Crota strike that was in the last DLC? I hate that strike because it just feels like all you do is get into one hidey hole. You know, fire at a bunch of ads, wait for your opportunity to come out, fire at Omnigul, and then go back, you know, and it just is, it's endless in that way. This looks like it's going to be dynamic. You're going to be thinking on your feet. Different objectives could come into play depending on, you know, what randomly came up for you this week. It really looks super fun. And it's going to add a new type of activity to Destiny where you're actually going to have to make a decision. Do I want to do a Nightfall with my, you know, friends this week, or do I want to do, you know, Prison of Elders? Like, do I have time to do everything there is that Destiny has to offer this week? I play a lot of Destiny, and I'm looking into the future, and I don't think I got time each week to do everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's one of the things that's nice, is that it would have been great to have, like, okay, here's the new raid, and that's it. But this way, they add, like, an entirely new kind of activity, like you said, that isn't in the game, and then that adds, you know, a lot of variety to the experience, and then adds more things for people to do every week, and that's always great, because I know for me, I focus on the PvP, but it's like, all right, I do my Nightfall, my weekly heroic, and then I'm done. And I'd like for there to be more PvE for me to do, especially something that's, you know, kind of fresh week to week, so.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I feel like the House of Wolves is bringing to Destiny that I feel like it was lacking is that they talked early on about how Destiny was, you know, you were supposed to, your Guardian was supposed to build its own legend, right? And you were supposed to be able to be unique and that it was supposed to be important to be your class, right? And I think that what House of Wolves is really doing for us is it's making it extremely important to be strategic in our choices. And both PvE with the Prison of Elders and PvP with Trials of Osiris is forcing us to take a look at our 3-man fire team and saying, what do we do to make it through this thing? Right? We saw how hard it was in PvP and trials to get to the end, right? We saw how hard it is for that team to make it through 4 wins in Prison of Elders. So
we didn't even see them get to the end, right? Because they weren't a team. They weren't being strategical.
I guess what I'm so excited about is that I'm going to have to, you know, and this is coming from a PvP guy. I play Call of Duty like crazy, and I've fallen in love with this sort of, and I'm not going to say MMO, but I'm going to say this concept of a raid team where you have to choose what you're going to need to do to bring into it. So I'm really excited about getting my fire team together and discussing who's going to be the Titan, defender. You know, they're going to put on blast shield. You know, they're going to make sure they produce orbs for their, you know, Sunsinger warlock that's going to save us in case we all die. I mean, these are all discussions that are going to have to happen prior to the game beginning, and I'm really thinking that, you know, Destiny was missing that, right? All the characters were too close to each other, and it really didn't matter what character you were. Now I feel compelled to have a Sunsinger, or to have a Warlock, to have a Hunter, and to have a Titan, because I want to be dynamic in these different challenges. So yeah. I guess that's what I'm most excited about, and I think they brought it to us with Prison of Elders and Trials of Osiris.
Yeah, like, what is it about Prison of Elders that gives it to us? I totally agree with you that it seems totally apparent, but like, why wasn't that in Vault of Glass? I kind of see it in Crota's End a little bit, especially with the Hunters, but...
To me, it was the intensity, right?
Yeah.
So it's really amazing because, like... And Triple, you could probably speak to the PvP portion of this more than I can, because I got to play that, but you got to play it a lot more, and you're much more in tune with that. But in the PvE side, you needed to watch each other's back and work as a team and work as in unison. But it was a different type of play teamwork than Trials of Osiris. When you were in the Prison of Elders, you were there was an onslaught. People were coming at you, right? Like you needed to fight and you needed to defend, and it was very you know, and like you had to like watch each other's back and revive each other, and you know, go to this objective and be very communicative. But there was still that level of strategic gameplay and intensity in Trials of Osiris, but it was very different. And I don't know. I mean, do you feel the same way, Triple?
Yeah, absolutely I do. And talking about Prison of Elders, I think like the difference between Prison of Elders and like the raids is the raids kind of have somewhat of a slower pace, and there's not the urgency that's in Prison of Elders, because it is that kind of gladiatorial, like, you're thrown in there, here's a ton of enemies, and there's objectives popping up here and there, and then if you don't complete them, like, it's a wipe, you're done. Yeah. So there's like the pace, the intensity is much higher. So again, you know, only having, you know, three people instead of six, you know, the burden is on each of those players to carry their weight and really contribute to the fire team. And likewise in Trials of Osiris, I really enjoy, you know, the frantic, you know, pace of, you know, Control and somewhat Clash, you know, having the 6v6 is great. And I like that. And Skirmish is good. I like the 3v3 modes. But what Trials brings is again, it's this depth. It's a new, meta, because there's a lot more thought and strategy that you can put into, you know, the moment to moment. And the fact that it's not straight elimination, which can kind of, you know, in some games can be kind of like, you know, who's going to be more patient? Who's going to wait out the other team? Where here it's like you have revives. So if someone goes down, it's about playing around. Are you going to get that revive? Are you going to be aggressive? Are you going to push up and try to finish off your opponents? There was at least once during the trial stream where I was the last man standing on my team, and I was actually able to just kind of move around the map and then flank all the way back around, revive my two teammates, come back for the win. And it's like these, you know, these super intense moments that you get in some of, you know, the best competitive games like Counter-Strike and Search and Destroy from Call of Duty. And
that's what it reminded me of a lot. Did you play Search and Rescue at all?
Yes, and that's the first that's thing I thought of is like, yeah, there you go. There's a single life mode, but with revives that totally changes, you know, the way you play and the way you think about it.
The only thing that's different that I felt like in Search and Rescue was that you could deny a person's revive, right?
Right.
And you can't do that. You can't deny a team's revive. You can't. Like, it would have been interesting.
I can shoot him in the head with a sniper rifle, and that denies a revive quickly.
You know what I mean. But like, right. it would have been
from being revived, period.
Yeah, done. Yeah. You're dead. No, that's the best way, I guess. But I thought it would have been interesting if they had added a different dynamic where a counter revive, like if your team went over there and they held down the revive button, the enemy team
makes the ghost disappear or something.
Yeah, they could dissolve.
Like in, oh god, I'm breaking my rule. In WoW, like you can take someone's.
Oh yeah. have to, dude. Dude,
it's every episode. Like two podcasts ago, I did the entire podcast without mentioning WoW. So I'm just going to go.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I totally did.
I have triple. Like, see, Patrick has this obsession with WoW, and he can't help but mention it in every single podcast. And people have documented it. There's documentation of every episode. So.
Well, anyway, yep. you can effectively in like rated battlegrounds, you can take someone's insignia to keep them from resurrecting on their body instead of being like rezzed at the battle healer or whatever. Yeah.
Do you think the big difference here is like in a raid team, you have six players and you can carry weaker players with you and still get the raid accomplished. But in this, with only three players,
that's a good
point. You're not carrying anybody. You know, everybody's got to contribute. And I kind of wonder if it's the same with Trials of Osiris, where in control, you can carry a couple weaker players, still get the win. But when it's 3v3 in Trials of Osiris, can you really carry anybody? Maybe Triple Rec can, but I can't.
No, and it's kind of like the thing about it is too, like a lot of people are going to play Trials the way they've been used to playing all the other modes. Like I can just, you know, be super aggressive and not really worry about what's going to happen. I can see them like running out, you know, they might get two enemies down right away. Oh, the third guy gets him. Then all of a sudden, he goes, picks up the two revives. Now you're dead, and the tables have turned really quickly, and maybe because you weren't using, you know, any communication with your team. And then it's going to teach players to really be methodical in how they approach situations, which makes it really good. It's more of like a chess match. It's more of that
I think that it'll start to actually teach proper with the game subclasses. Sense.
Yeah, I think it's going to teach players to be smarter. And that's very exciting.
I watch your stream a bunch, and you know you've gotten lazy. I'm just gonna point it out. All right. So you're a good player. You're a great player, and you have great PvP skills. But you blink shotgun and last word everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now you don't need to because you're good enough that you don't need to. But everybody else does, so you do it too. I saw you try that in Trials of Osiris, and you got laid out. And you were actually a liability for your team because you were so far out, and they couldn't come to revive you. Is that something you noticed as well, like that you're going to actually have to jump in, you know, change your strategy a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things I was playing.
sorry to throw down on you.
No, because it's true. Because I went into Trials playing it, having no prior knowledge. I didn't play it before that stream at all. When I played, that was the first time. I didn't know what to expect. And then, you know, as we were playing, you know, I had to try to make some adjustments to what I was doing because some things were working, some things weren't.
So you switched to a sniper and then last word.
Yep. It's going to be players fiddling with their loadouts, fiddling with their classes. You know, some, no doubt, like Sunslingers would be very good because of the revive. Mm-hmm. But for example, gunslingers, which have kind of started to die off, sadly, just because, you know, blink, mine, shotguns, so all, you know, all the different things that have kind of taken over due to various changes in the game. I think the gunslinger super is going to make a huge, like, it's super for denial, for stopping sunslingers, other blade dancers, but used as like a tool for flanking as well.
How do you guys think the supers are going to evolve for Prison of Elders? Because like right now, hunters in general, like gunslinger, I don't think it's going to be that useful. But
that's actually something that we quickly figured out when we were playing. After you talk about how you go into it and you think, oh, I'm just going to play it like PvE. It's not. Because what we ended up figuring out was it's super important in the early rounds to focus on, like, there's fewer yellow guys, yellow shielded guys. It's really, you know, at the beginning of Crota where everybody, Crota Hard at least, where everybody, like, weakens the yellow guys and then you use your super on them. Well, it's really important that the communication in Prison of Elders is so high that you're weakening the yellow guys and allowing each other to chain supers and build up those orbs, because in the later rounds you're gonna need them.
Yeah.
So it teamwork and strategy builds off of, like, you know, orb creation is really important. You know, you're gonna get to a point where you're having to defend these spots against really hard enemies, boomers that are just going to be like, you know, shooting rounds with crazy precision accuracy at you. And the only way you're going to be able to defend yourself is with supers. So where are you going to get those orbs? You can't create them when it's too late. So you're going to have to prepare from the very beginning that, you know, your builds to chain each other's supers and build. There should be orbs. Like, you're going to want to get to a point where you know there's three positions on the map, right? And you know where they are. And you're going to want to draw the yellow guys towards those positions and kill them. And this is, granted, this is the higher levels, because we haven't in the stream, we didn't find out what really happens at the high levels, because some interesting stuff happens there. So you get to these points, you're going to want to kill the yellow guys around those points to build up orbs on the ground that you're going to use yet later, right? So
you just like at the beginning, upped my anticipation for this game even more. I can't.
Oh, it's that stream was fun to watch, but you're gonna want to get your hands on it, because it is a challenge, and the challenge is how well your team can work together.
So do you think that, since this is a very obviously team oriented thing, can it take the place of a raid? That I know everyone's like, oh my god, raids are, you know, there's no raid, I don't want to buy it, but I feel that this has enough teamwork that you're still getting that same experience. It's just on a much smaller level. It's a much more intimate level with both
the environment and your team. I felt like the communication, I think Triple hit it spot on. Like, you're going to be forced to work, you know, much closer with your teammates and much more communication. And you're going to have to rely on, you know, your teammates much more. And it's going to be really important that you pick your teammates.
It's interesting. It makes me wonder how many teams are going to actually clear level 35 on a weekly basis.
It's going
to
be
after the dust of House of Wolves has settled and everything's been moved in and people start collecting that level 34 gear and get the etheric light. It really makes me wonder, because right now it's like, once you get the process down for Nightfalls, it's like, okay, do the Nightfall, no problem. Have somebody who knows what they're doing easily be able to go out and knock out everything that needs to be done with the proper burn. But this does not seem that way. It really feels like they set it up where, like, you know what? It's right. You walk into this area and the door closes. And that's something that Destiny doesn't do, aside from that one mission where you go kill the Archon Kel guy in a room. And it'll be interesting to see how the community responds with not being able to be carried. 2 weeks
after Crota's End dropped, I mean, if you ran that with a regular raid team, everybody pretty much knew their positioning and what their role was, and you weren't even talking about what was going on anymore. You're kind of like catching up, you know,
that's
like
true.
Having some laughs.
Yeah.
Same with Vault of Glass. If you run that with a regular team, you don't talk about what's happening anymore. You just, you know, you're talking about whatever, you're joking around. I don't know if that'll ever happen in here, because it's so dynamic that you're constantly going to be talking to, you know, okay, you know, the big guys over here, we need to generate orbs, you know, whatever, you know?
Well, and also, Briar, it gets even more complicated than that, because the enemies will randomly spawn in different combinations.
Random waves, right? Yeah.
So that's think about, think about the way that you're just going to get the shaft and you're going to get like a really bad multiplier.
And I was wondering
really
about
bad
that.
Group of enemies that are going to come out, and you're going to be like, oh my God, we're hosed.
They said that there's 20 different modifiers, or around 20 upwards or something.
Yeah, like, we have a list of them, of what we know here. We have, like, small arms, primary weapon damage is doubled, exposure, guardian shields are increased, but do not replenish. There was some confusion about that when people were watching. Like, your health will still replenish, but your shields don't replenish.
Mm-hmm. That shield was big,
His shield was inching up, or not inching, like moving slightly up though.
No, it was like his health went from red to show that he had taken health damage, but then his health regenerated to his shield, which would just turn white for that first tick of the shield. It never actually went
segmented
up from there.
Into three parts, and once he was down in the lower
third,
I thought I saw it too.
You know, Tefty, there might be something that he was wearing or something that actually allows that. So health.
Well, I was wondering if Red Death would push it forward a little bit.
It didn't when I ran through Prison of Elders, because I put it on and then I was like, oh, it's not doing anything. And then people like shouted from across the room, yeah, it doesn't work. Just don't use it. So.
We thought of that.
It didn't work.
It's him is trying.
We have
the one thing though. The one thing I wonder, though, is that what combination did they not truly test that is nearly impossible? Because I'm sure there's going to be some combination that shows up where people are like, oh, man, if you get Arc with
I mean, you know, that
excessive arc explosions.
That hive room that they were that they got stuck on, everything in there aside from ogres does arc damage, and they were just getting hammered by it.
Well, and it's important to note that so the purple eyeball says, you're going to be fighting the fallen, right?
You'll be whatever. Fighting the fallen,
right?
Guardian.
So it will fall back into that tunnel and disappear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the match won't start until you go through that door.
Yeah. You have time to prepare. Redo your loadout.
So what happens, what's going to happen in that room is you're going to talk it out. You're going to strategize. And you're going to go, I'll do this rocket launcher. Because, you know, they were even talking about like how the shields changed.
Oh yeah. Putting on a solar weapon to take care of that wizard that was giving them a hard time.
Right.
Well, like the boss though also the has boss. The ability and to so recalibrate
each,
the shield.
Right. So each boss is different at like special, and I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but each boss has special attributes that they're going to bring to the fight that are going to make it more challenging.
Yeah, so like just as an example, the boss that I kind of spoiled in my video, Valus Truareg, has a shield that recalibrates. So we were like, okay, so we need to have a wide range of elemental types to take care of that shield. So Dado had, you know, a void damage thing, and he was a Defender Titan, so his grenades plus that took care of it. I was a Gunslinger with a Murmur as my for Solar and Gjallarhorn, so I was the Solar guy. And then Mesa Shawn, he took care of Arc with just all of his Arc weapons. And so we were able to work around that to get through that fight.
There is a ton of... there is it, for those guys that are going to go for the high rewards... And the rewards are gear and weapons, right? New, unique gear and weapons that are only going to be available in the Prison of Elders. So for the people that want to go after it, they're going to have to reach a new level of raid-like level of teamwork. And so and when anybody asks me, like they ask me on Twitter or whatever, you know, is this going to take the place of a raid? I think it really does because it requires that high level of teamwork, but just at a more focused level.
Definitely. I love picturing like Patrick having solar damage and moving from like you know, bad guy to bad guy. Patrick takes down their shields, I come in with arc damage, take down their health, and we just follow each other around the room that way. That's it. The amount of strategy that comes from that kind of thing is amazing.
And communication. Well,
and also the preparedness, because they're essentially saying, okay, you've done Fall to Glass, you've done Crota's End, you've collected all this gear, now you can ascend it to the next light level, or the maximum year one damage, and now we're going to throw you into an experience that's going to make you have to rotate through all this equipment. You know? Which, that's very fascinating.
Good point,
And it's also really cool that they're saying, you've done these two raids, you've mastered them, you can do them while you're eating a burrito. Cool. Now do Prison Elders.
And how important is it going to be to have that app to be able to drop...
extremely important.
You're going to be waiting inside the room and going, oh man, I got to get something out. And then you'll pull it out through the app. Yeah.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah. Take your time to do the vault transfer. Yeah. However that guy sounds like.
Take your time.
Well, and I mean, are you guys excited? Were you guys excited for matchmaking in it?
I was happy to see it. I was definitely happy to see it. I know a lot of the community was really wanting it to be on the higher difficulties, but. Just think about this. Like, we saw, even though those guys were standing right next to each other and having some communication, what would it be like to go into level 34 difficulty, no communication, because for some reason people still don't use the voice chat that's in the game. It would be horrible. It would be horrible to actually try to get through that encounter with no one speaking. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a couple groups where everyone's just... has a really good game sense and they can get through it, but a majority of the time it's going to be a lot of people just bashing their heads against the walls, getting mad, and then leaving. There's also no, like, it doesn't save your checkpoints in this either. I think that's the one issue that I didn't really like about this. Well, yeah, it is really nice if, say, you get a modifier that you just simply cannot get through. Like, you can't get through this modifier. So you just leave to reset the entire thing. You have to go back and start all over, but then you're hopefully not going to get those same modifiers. But at the same time, if you guys get a weasel error or something and you all get, you know, taken out, yeah.
So that's something I'm unclear about, right? Is it the same level progression? Like, let's say I'm in a group and Patrick's in a group, or and Pope Bear's in a group. and we're all playing separately. Is it the same progression of levels and modifiers for each of our three groups, or are we randomly getting different groups? I kind of was under the impression that it was randomized for the week, but everybody who's playing it gets the same set.
No, it's different. It's randomized per instance.
Wow. So if you do run into one of those crazy modifiers, then you can pull out and just come back in, and it refreshes the whole thing.
Yeah, I was wondering that same question actually, Briar. Yeah. Okay, I got a quick question.
Okay.
Then. So we don't have matchmaking on the 32, 34, and 35.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think somebody's going to be able to solo this?
Triple. Do you think you'll be able to solo this?
I will definitely not be able to solo this. but I'm continually impressed by some of the stuff you see, you know, like no Ambion, Crota solo, no supers. And I'm just sitting there, I'm just like, I'm in just disbelief. Like, that's an incredible achievement. And no doubt the community will rise to the challenge, and we'll see some really impressive footage. So yeah, I mean, I'll be happy if I can get through this with my A squad, you know, and then in the first like 10 hours that we try it. So yeah, for sure, it's gonna be interesting.
All right, is this something that you think you're gonna live stream?
I will definitely live stream this.
It honestly seems like it would be an interesting activity to do with subscribers.
It's gonna be great for that, definitely. And it's just gonna be great to watch and try to see how people are tackling this stuff, and you know, what class combinations are they using? What weapons are they using? How are they adapting to some of the objectives?
Right.
You know, what's working for some and what's not working for others? And I know I'll be watching all the people I follow, trying to figure this stuff out. And definitely, you know, the community will help each other out in that respect, and give tips and pointers and things that they had success with and failures. So. It's going to be the first week or two. It's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
It feels a lot like Bungie has taken looking at what the community has done with the raids and seeing how we've kind of broke those raids within a short amount of time and taken Prison Elders and gone, all right, we're going to give you a challenge that we think is unbreakable. You know what I mean? Here's this level 35 that is going to be brutal. Go ahead, try to break this.
Well, it's all going to depend on if players can find that spot, that ledge on the glass shelf, you know, that the area where the ogres spawn. Like, are there going to be spots like that we can take advantage of? Hopefully there's not. And it's just going to be a true test of skill. If it is something that we can exploit and take advantage of, we will. Right. You know,
I mean, like when I first zoned in to Prison of Elders on 32 difficulty, we had the Cabal room, and like the first thing I thought was like, dude, I need to get on top of that ship that's in the middle of the room. I need to get up there and just get my icebreaker out and just, you know, cheese this entire thing. One of the things that I noticed is like, yeah, even if the community finds that one little special edge to stand on, you're still going to have to go defuse a mine.
That's
you're
a good still,
point. Yes. Yeah. Like, you know,
that VIP kill.
Yeah, that VIP kill was no joke. You had to single target that thing down quick.
Man.
And the burns go both ways, right?
Yeah, the burns go both ways. So like there were a couple more modifiers I didn't get to, like catapult grenades recharge speed is greatly increased. So I was like, awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god, that affects the enemy as well.
Yeah. If you know the fallen those spike grenades.
Yeah, those things.
Wait until you get that. Like,
oh, I did. That's what I got it on.
They are freaking insanely accurate.
Like, yeah, that's what I got
the
map, it on.
You just see these. You see like this hail of bullets, like some medieval movie. Like
the arrows blackening the sun.
There's no shade like to fight in here,
right? And you're like, you see these arrows. You can't camp anywhere, man. They are so deadly accurate with those grenades.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
We in the stream, I wanted to go over this one thing specifically. We saw a really, really cool weapon. It wasn't an exotic. It was one of those things that we saw in just a screenshot, and people were really kind of guessing at what it was. But it's a new weapon class.
Come here.
All right, where are you? Where are you?
Where are you at?
Where are you?
What is it and what does it do?
Oh, we're going to get teleported out.
There it is!
Get out of here, though. Wait.
Let's...
Wait.
There it is.
What is? What there does it is. Do?
You ran away.
I was inspecting you. Shoot me at it. Shoot me.
Okay.
So what is? So it's like a little. It's like a little. It's like a cannon.
Yeah, it's like a fast firing pistol.
Fast firing pistol.
Yeah.
A sidearm, we call it.
Yeah, sidearm.
What sort of fancy things does that do?
Oh man.
Kills bad
so
guys.
So many different things. It has a right, special perk against spawning.
Oh, throttle!
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh god.
We got some stragglers. Round them up. Still got some escapees. Let's
go find them. There they are. There they are. Oh, they're a whole bunch actually.
Knights.
Hide speed. Oh. Get out of here.
Yeah. It is the sidearm class. So we saw a pistol, 15 rounds in the clip, had really fast rate of fire, really low impact, but then like max stability, max reload speed. It looked like a really cool weapon. Triple, what did you think of that?
So I actually got to use this weapon when I was at Bungie.
Son of a bitch.
And and when I first saw it, I just, you know, I was like, what is this? You know, what? This is a new. It's not a hand cannon. It takes the place of my shotgun or my sniper that I'm usually running, and it's not like a hand cannon, right? It shoots very fast. Mm-hmm. It's very accurate. Does not do a lot of damage per shot, but it is one of the most fun guns I've ever used in Destiny, and it's completely unique. And I think people are gonna go crazy when they get to use this. I have no idea how it performs in PvP, but I'm definitely gonna be trying that day one and see what I can do with it.
We were talking about what weapon loadouts we were gonna use. What are you gonna use with it?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna try the No Land Beyond and this new pistol and see, mm-hmm. you know, maybe if I get a body shot, I can switch to this real quick, finish them off. Might be a good combo, but you know, I doubt it's gonna be really good, but it'll be kind of one of those weapons that's like when you get killed by it, like you just feel bad. You're like, all right, I just got mm-hmm. disrespected a little bit. I'm gonna have to come after this guy.
So
is it single fire or auto fire?
It's semi-auto.
It's semi-automatic. It's basically
so is
a pulse.
It burst?
It's
burst
basically
fire?
A pulse rifle pistol.
It basically shoots as fast as you can pull the trigger.
Yeah, the shock pistol apparently the shock pistol is going to be in that same class. We don't know the stats of it yet, but
it's exciting.
So the Vestian Dynasty, what I found was really helpful is if you had you know how Patrick, you use your Hawkmoon throwing knife combo a lot?
Yes. Yes.
If you had not sleight of hand, what is it that in Destiny where you can switch, you know, you can fast switch your
quick
weapons?
Swap.
Yeah, quick swap.
So,
Blade Dancers will probably really like that.
Yeah, if you're if you're running a prime, like a another hard primary, like a scout rifle or something, something that will take off shields easily or that has a low magazine size, this is a great gun when you're in trouble to still be able to do damage and get yourself out of it. If you're out of your primary, someone sneaks up on you and you're a sniper.
Or last word and a sidearm.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like for my PvP loadout, if I get that weapon, I might try out scout rifles a hell of a lot more. Like I got a Gellion's Demise that I really mm-hmm. want to start using some. I'm really interested in seeing Fate of All Fools personally. That seems like a really cool weapon. We don't know exactly what the perks will do yet. Apparently some of them got changed on the one guy that actually has the gun. The second perk doesn't actually work on it, so we don't know if they're going to get changed or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's another one that actually had the same flavor text as this pistol. It was called the 343 Vesta Dynasty. And this pistol is called the Vestian Dynasty and has the same flavor text as that exotic scout rifle that we data mined a while back.
What's a flavor text?
Flavor text would be the words that are underneath, like when you inspect the weapon.
So the one for Vestian Dynasty, quote. It says, a reef scout hunts for years, fighting piracy and ancient traps to crack one cache and claim the weapons within.
Yes.
Mm, flavor.
Flavor.
Flavor. Delicious flavor.
Tasty. Yeah. And it doesn't look like any gun in the current armory.
No, that's what was so cool about it, seeing it in those screenshots. It was like, whoa, what is this? Yeah.
It looks a lot like a modern semi-automatic pistol, but it kind of has the feel of like a Monte Carlo.
Okay.
That, like the look of it, right? When you're,
it's
like when
a
you're
little holding it. Very clean, very clean looking.
Very Star Trek esque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Set it to stun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm interested in I don't see in the photo that we have that's that of the flavor text, and it's arc damage, right?
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. I don't see the hammer forge like symbol. So
yeah, so I'm guessing that's going to be
either an early
like,
photo or it can't be reforged.
I don't think it can be reforged. It might be, my guess is that it's going to be kind of similar to Murmur or something like that. Like it's going to be a quest reward maybe for completing the story and everything. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's something that a lot of people are going to get so they can really show off that this new weapon class type.
Okay.
But, that's just my take on it. I don't know about you guys.
Like it doesn't look like a faction weapon or Vanguard. So it makes sense that it is like a reward item, you know?
It looks like an exotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost looks exotic, right, Triple?
Mm.
And some of the stuff that, you talked about one of the best perks in it is that when you die and you respawn, you have full ammo, right?
Right. So that's it's a little ammo perk symbol on the left side. That'll definitely come in handy in PvP and PvE, obviously.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So something you won't have to like, mm-hmm. you know, like a shotgun or a sniper. Like those are gonna be game changers. But this is essentially, you know, it's a sidearm. So mm-hmm. having ammo often will be nice, for sure. Since you know, of course, they made changes to the special ammo,
which I feel like has made PvP much more competitive now.
Yeah,
I feel like it's gone the right
definitely
direction.
Definitely a good move.
Yeah,
the Iron Banner actually, that we just had last week, I felt was the most enjoyable Iron Banner we've had.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know a thing about that. A Comcast has been like, no, you're not playing anything this week.
Oh, that sucks. That's
a struggle.
Triple, I'd like to know your thoughts on like the patch changes and everything that's happened to Iron, PvP and Iron Banner. You know, just like a overall thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you know, first and foremost, the changes to the ammo, I think were all very good because special weapons should be that. They should be special. Yeah. You should be using them situationally, not using them in lieu of your primary, which is something that's happened for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now I feel snipers have been hit a little bit harder because they require a lot more skill to utilize, you know, the same amount of ammo. But I don't think that's a problem with, you know, the ammo situation. More of this a weapon balance thing, and you can be sure that it was the first thing that I brought up when I went to Bungie was like, you got to look at shotguns. They are definitely operating outside what I would think are their intended, you know, effective ranges.
Is it shotguns as a whole, or is it like just Fellwinter's Lie?
There's some other shotguns that with the right perks are just as good. Judgment, so I think it's about six. Or the two of the morgue. It's about examining kind of the perk combinations. I think the issue is having hammer forged and shot package or hammer forged mm-hmm. and rangefinder, because then it's ridiculous. Now having just one of those will be fine. And
I think that if they just take a look at the way that the reforging mechanism works and code in there that certain perks don't come up together.
Right. Well, I mean, originally you could have hammer forge, rangefinder, and shot package.
Oh my god!
And that, I mean, I had some, you know, some friends send me some clips that they got in Crucible, and I was just like sitting there with my jaw on the floor. I couldn't believe it.
But they're gonna send that.
It was a scout rifle, essentially.
Yeah, essentially, and they changed that, which is great. So you, some of those were mutually exclusive, but they need to take the next step. Mostly just because they're shotguns with base stats that are so good, that have such high impact that, you know, if everything was like your average green or blue shotgun, then it wouldn't matter because their stats are a lot lower. But when you have something that has huge impact and already starts out at almost max range, and then you're taking that further, and then it just, you know, obviously.
You get Fellwinter's Lie.
Yeah, you get Fellwinter's. Yeah. The other Iron Banner sniper rifle.
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree about the snipers getting hit harder. You know, I mean, I've recently switched from shotgunning and blinking because I want to make sure my sniper game is up for Trials of Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I came from sniping most of the time and then went to shotgunning most of the time just because it was like a quick fix. It's like I was eating fast food. I was like, kills, exactly. You know? And then I forgot about my sniper game. And now I'm getting back into just being a gunslinger, sniper, hand cannon guy.
That's a fun build right there.
Yeah, I love the build. It's,
yeah,
it's
that's,
a lot
that's
of fun.
What I used for about, I want to say, like 5 months straight. Like, I never used Blade Dancer. I rarely use shotguns. And it's only like, you know, after the Fellwinters came out that it's like the meta changed. And it's like I use shotguns a lot now, mostly because I have to defend against other shotguns, not because it's my playstyle. And that's when you got to recognize there's an imbalance there. And people come in the stream and like, oh, nice job using a shotgun. You're not any good. It's like, well, if you're not using a shotgun out of principle, you know, out of like, you know, I would never stoop to that low, then, you know, you're just doing yourself a disservice. You're putting yourself at a disadvantage, you know. And if you like to lose, then
that's what I'm dealing with.
I kind of look at it like, you guys remember Lance Armstrong, right? The cyclist, right? Who was kind of discredited. And I hate to make like a sport analogy with this, but you know, when you reach that level of any sport, you know, athletes are very, very similar to each other, and there's not much that separates them. All it takes is a few of them, a handful of them, to start doping for the rest of them to feel like they have to, right?
So Fellwinters is dope?
Fellwinters is a lot like Fellwinters dope. Is dope. You know, these guys would have been, you know, triple and every, like these other guys that I see that are amazing at PvP will always be amazing at PvP. But what he's talking about is the meta changing is essentially one of them started doping and, you know, to remain relevant, you know, you all have to start dope. You all have to dope. So I don't think that it discredits any of the players that are using it. It just explains, like you said, it just explains that they're you know, that if there's no other options, the game becomes stale and it isn't very interesting to watch or play. And so I'd love to be able to see, you know, the high level gameplay for this to be an esport. You're going to need to have the high level gameplay be varied by class and game type. You know, there isn't really a true run and gun style. There isn't a true mid-level range alley sniper style. There isn't a true tank style. You know, so because you only really have melded them all down to this blink, shotgun, last word, thorn gameplay. And so for it to be a PvE viable, viewable, like for Triple to get, you know, twice, three times, I would love to see him with 3,000 people watching his stream at any given night.
And so would
and, I. Yeah, I mean, but I think to draw those kind of numbers, to draw those, you know, those numbers, you're going to need to have it be much more interesting.
You need to increase the skill gap and allow players to really show that it's not the gear that's making them
exactly.
they want the player to shine. They want the skill to remain front and center, and that's what I like about watching some of the best competitive games. It's like you go there and it's like, yeah, I use the same guns or the same, you know, loadouts or whatever. It's like, I can't do that stuff. Those guys are amazing, and that's what makes some of that stuff fun to watch. And I would love for Destiny to one day reach that, you know, truly competitive level. And the truth is they don't have to do a lot in terms of, you know, tweaks to really make some, you know, overall huge balance changes and really bring the game up. And I definitely brought that stuff up to them, and they're very aware of, like, you know, like the current sandbox gameplay of Crucible. And I think they're going to make the right choices when it comes to that stuff. It's just something, you know, it takes time. They have to test and they need to evaluate all their options, and it is what it is. But yeah, obviously, you know, even if nothing was changed, you know, the best players are still going to be the best, even if, you know, they're using these broken weapons or stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just better for everyone if we can, you know, elevate that to where you see that variety between the loadouts and the classes and all that.
So here's a question. Do you think, like, right now, the two-shot hand cannon rules PvP right now? Obviously it's like two shot thorn or your Hawkmoon procs and you get a two shot, and those tend to be the problem primaries in terms of everybody using that. Do you think they could actually nerf those and still maintain a happy ecosystem, or are they going to have to bring other weapons up to that level to make them competitive, you know?
I think that I am more in favor of, like, nerfing a lot of stuff than buffing, because if we go back to the alpha and the beta when we all had, you know, really crappy shotguns, we had auto rifles reigned supreme, but even then the, you know, the time to kill was very low and it took quite a few shots to take enemies down. And that it's kind of that Halo balancing, which is great though, because mm-hmm. it's very arcade. It's very skill centric, very teamwork centric, because, you know, unlike some games, you're not putting two shots into someone's foot across the map and you get the kill. You actually have to, you have to work for it. And then there's the opportunities where you can start taking fire, turn around, and you can outplay someone. And that's when a game like Destiny really shines. Yeah, so,
that's right. Yeah.
I'm definitely in favor of, making the Thorn like a 3-shot kill. It's still going to be arguably the choice weapon for top players, but it won't be at that level where it's just like, you know, I don't even have a chance to defend myself. I don't even know, like, by the time I realize I'm taking damage, I'm already about to burn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The last word has the 111 damage when you ADS, which a lot of people think is a glitch, and it honestly doesn't matter. I think they should just take that out. I think the last word should be a 3-shot kill in the best case scenario. It shoots very quick. It's a very good close to medium range weapon. It'll still be great and people will still use it, but it won't be at the level where I've 2-shotted, you know, 2 enemies back to back, like 4 mm-hmm. shots, 2 kills in like a split second. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, oh, that's dumb.
I feel like the range on Last Word is just too much. Feel like it needs another nerf, you know?
It's
on the range.
And that would be fine. Ideally, you want to see people using all the weapons. Now, I don't know if the map design is conducive for scout rifles being a popular choice for most players, but they should be viable in the right hands, as should auto rifles and pulse rifles and the like. So, yeah, if you can just make them, it's not about I have to use the best thing, but I use the thing that fits my playstyle, and I can still be, you know, I can still be viable against the other weapon types.
The scout rifles are kind of in a funny spot right now. There's really kind of no reason to use them. The range is still there for hand cannons for the most part. Even pulse rifles. Like, I never really find that I have an advantage on any map with a scout rifle. Like, they're small.
What I've found in Trials of Osiris is that if you have a staggered approach to your fire team, you know, so you would take what you would normally do in a 6v6, which you would have more numbers and 2 for each lane. You would, you know, mid, you know, left and right. So you would have your front short weapon, like hand cannon, thorn guy, right? Shotgun. He's up front engaging the enemy on their radar, right? If you have a mid-level right behind him that's not going to be drawing the fire player, that will be the defender slash revive, whatever, with this person goes down class, this person has the attack class, the front runner. The scout rifle becomes an effective weapon for the support player to team shoot the target. So I actually found that the Vision of Confluence, the Mida multi-tool, any of the scout rifles that you could pop a shield off with one shot made that front runner's any of that front runner's close quarters weapon become a 1-2 shot. So it was actually a really important strategy, was to be able to run as a fire team like that, where you were covering each other's corners, and then you made sure that the front runner was getting all the shots absorbed, and you had the mid-level single fire scout slash pulse slash any number of weapon there behind him.
See, that's a technique we'd use in Halo, being able to chain DMR shots.
Right. Being
able to move in and out and absorbing multiple shots for each other while still acting as like one BR or DMR and getting the kill.
That's exactly where the strategy like clicked in my head, because I played, you know, thousands of hours of Halo. Yeah. And it was actually funny that it was from the DMR team shooting that you come around a corner and you engage in fire. This person puts 2 shots and then backs up, and then this person engages and backs up, and it's sharing the loadout.
Yeah, you can't compete against it when it's a 1v2.
Kind of changing topics here, I just posted a link in the chat for you guys to take a look at. It's all the new perks that we've seen that we know of that are coming. Knowing Bungie, there's probably going to be some more that we don't know about. But just kind of go down the list here. It looks like there's some interesting ones where you kind of have to make a decision about it. These were the perks that I really wanted to see in the game, like Rifled Barrel, increased range, but you have a slower reload. Hand-laid Stock, increased stability, but reduced range. Small Bone, increased range and stability, slower reload, and reduced mag size. What do you guys think about some of these? Are there any that kind of stand out to you right off the bat?
Yeah, I'm desiring Battle Runner for the longest time.
What does that one do?
That's the kills with this weapon grant a brief boost to sprint's top speed. For me, I'm a run and gun player. I love to get into the mix with them, and I'm gonna find that perk is one that I want to use.
I'm gonna enjoy using that one on my Blade Dancer, where I already stack max agility and use fleet footed, that's gonna be crazy. But you know, that adds to that, you know, what you're talking about, that run and gun style, and you could use that in trials. You could be flanking really quick.
Yeah,
you could be making those plays. If we ever get some objective based game modes in the Crucible, you know, you're gonna have people running that as for like dedicated roles. I think it's a really cool perk. I really like having these perks that, you know, give you a buff in something and then a debuff in others. So like you can maybe amplify a gun's strengths, or perhaps maybe make it a more of an all around weapon. And so I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I do too.
That is really cool.
I like Icarus, improved accuracy while airborne.
Yes,
that's what I was gonna say.
Prior. The question is like, is that on only certain types of weapons, or is that going to be on everything? I mean, if you have that on a sniper, then you could be in for some really crazy YouTube clips.
I don't know if you've seen my videos, snipes. But yeah, like that's what I do a lot. It's like I'm jumping in the air, getting the airborne snipes.
I've had some clips of my own. That, you know, it's total luck, but
oh yeah, it's total luck. But it's hilarious to see it happen.
If you get something that's going to help you with that, it's going to be pretty crazy. Or even, you know, having hand cannons which already have increased accuracy in the air, like that could just make them even better.
That's exactly what I'm going to be looking at. Like if I can get a Red Hand 9 with Icarus, that'll be interesting. Very also, cool and stack it with Exotac Angel Hunter.
We don't know what any of the exotics actually do.
Do we want a perk like Hidden Hand? This weapon gains better target acquisition.
I don't know. Depends on what it's on, because I think it was on the Red Hand and that we saw in the Reef reveal.
Right, but I'm saying if these are perks floating out there, Triple, imagine a gun like Thorn, right, or something like that. But a lot of different, because that's one of Thorn's biggest assets is that it has a huge aim assist.
Right, especially using Send It. And Send It is on a lot of different weapons, and a lot of people don't know that it does increase the aim assist, or, you know, the headshot hitbox, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So I don't know if this is like the same thing. It's greater or less than Send It, if it's taking the place of Send It.
Hey, that's a good question.
If you can have both of them, it's going to be
Stack Send It. Stack Send It and Hidden Hand. Oh my gosh.
It's a good point, though. Like, how many of these are going to be middle tier options as opposed to main perks?
Like, from what I saw, the ones that give you something and take away something, those are going to be like that middle three tier of perks.
Right. So instead of having like, Perfect Balance or Hammer Forged, then you have one of these.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you still are able to get Perfect Balance, but then you also have these put in there as well.
Right.
I wonder if you you get a gun from the faction, right? And you reroll it, and I guess all these are up for grabs then, right?
I mean, yeah,
must be.
I'm guessing so.
That's gonna be crazy. I'm so glad that I have 2,000 shards, because you know. I know what I'm going to be doing. There's going to be whole, you know, the CSGO unboxing or whatever they do, and everybody's all crazy about.
Yep.
I predict that Triple Rec's going to be spending a little time on stream re-rolling stuff.
And today we'll be re-rolling the Red Hand 9.
And then you just sit there and re-roll it. Yep.
Yeah. There's going to be videos. You know how they have videos?
Oh, yeah.
There's people opening engrams. It's going to be videos of re-rolling weapons. it's my lucky day. I got it. You know,
I just got a Prudence 2 with Double Down, Perfect Balance, Field Scout, Snapshot, and Outlaw, and it's on the Xbox One. And I immediately thought, oh man, I'm not gonna have this on the PS4. So once House of Wolves comes out, I could theoretically blow a couple hundred motes and get that weapon now.
Yeah.
Same thing for my Judgment. I have a perfect Judgment on the Xbox One.
That's if those old ones still come out. Them?
Well, no, that's Faction. That's new market.
Yeah, but you can't. The old ones you can't.
The old ones you can't roll, but.
But you can purchase them though.
Based on what we saw in the Reef stream.
Right.
When he was at the New Monarchy faction, all the weapons were available there to purchase instead of just, you know, a handful. So you'll be able to buy any of the weapons, and then it's up to you to re-roll them as much as you want.
What I'm wondering is if some of the older perks will just kind of disappear for the newer weapons.
I think they might take some of them out. Like, some of the more useless ones, like, I don't know, maybe Snapshot, they might bake that into something else. There's quite a few that could definitely just be baked into some of these other perks that are out there.
Right.
I hope they buff Mulligan if they keep it.
I mean, I think that was in the patch notes today, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they increase the... I'm sure we'll get the percentages at a later date, but I know right now it's at 5%, which is just not worth it.
Hilarious.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's awful, right?
Yeah,
it's awful.
It's, the stat roll on it, or the percentage it procs is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous.
It's useless, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking that No Land Beyond... with a mulligan that if you miss the shot, you get an immediate one in the chain. You don't have to reload.
Oh, ooh. That'd be nasty.
You don't. Yeah,
that would be
pull the lever. Yeah,
that would be a really strong weapon. Actually,
yeah, wouldn't it be fun?
That would be good.
Yeah.
It'd
be a game changer. And I think that I always thought that the perk on there really should be that if you landed a critical round, that the next round had
a
short period of time, there was a body shot, one shot.
Yeah.
So you could chain those montages, right?
Yeah. I think that would be great. I use Montage the Lambion all the time.
I already
do. It's a really
fun
weapon.
Yeah, just get
no
chain
matter,
headshots.
Right. No matter how bad it is or how bad you have a game, it's like, even if you just get that one headshot,
it feels good though.
There's very few weapons that have that satisfaction, and then you know that when that player died and they saw that you're using the No Land,
it's the worst feeling. It's the worst.
Well, and the funny thing is, I know I have a couple guys on my friends list. I don't know if you play with Hovey, but he's one of those guys that it's just stupid, ridiculous with the No Land Beyond. I don't know how people are good with it. And he'll go in and he'll get, I don't know, 25 kills with it. It's just and like he'll do what numbers what I do with Last Word, he'll do with No Land Beyond. And I just don't even understand it.
In addition to like all these new perks and everything, we've actually got quite an information dump today. The weekly and heroic Nightfalls, this has been a much like requested thing from the community that the weekly and the heroic Nightfalls are actually separated. Once House of Wolves is released. So, like, Winter's Run could be the heroic, and then Will of Crota could be the Nightfall. So there's going to be a lot more variety. People that don't have the expansions aren't going to be locked out unless we just get the unlucky roll of the new strike plus the old strike or something as the weekly heroic.
Well, and also, for all those people that don't have the expansions, I mean, in PvP at least, you're going to get all the Dark Below maps are going to be free. And they are going to be available in the PvP rotations. And I think that's really cool because I like the Dark Below PvP maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice whenever, because you're always faced with the situation where when you're releasing DLC maps that you're segregating like the player pools, and then you have issues with playlists and, you know, Call of Duty. I don't know how Advanced Warfare has progressed, but yeah, I know with all the past games that when you had a DLC, you had a specific DLC playlist and then you couldn't play, you know, back and forth. And so that's unfortunate. I know like Killzone Shadowfall, they released all their multiplayer maps for free, which was great because, you know, you don't have that issue. And then it's nice to see Bungie doing the same thing, making that content available, to, you know, increase the quality of, you know, not running Blind Watch or Anomaly, you know, 8 times in a row, hopefully.
It increases so much. it increases the quality of matchmaking as well, because you're not splitting your user base into so many segments that you now have to look further regionally to get a match. You know, now there's going to be more people with better internet connections in your group.
Can we get a Fellwinter's Lie only lobby?
And so just so I can never
where
go
you can't it. Use it in any other lobby, just that one.
That would be great.
I'm just throwing that out there. Just suggesting that. I mean, I don't know. I think that's a little ridiculous, but
also it'll be really nice to play Iron Banner maps that are not the current rotation.
Yes.
Right? You know, with the Dark Below ones in there, that'll be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we should probably move along to some of the community questions now. First up, we've had a couple requests from various people to talk about the Crucible changes that are coming up. The biggest and really main thing that we want to address is the fact that they're changing the loot. The way the loot is actually distributed in the Crucible. Triple, did you get some time with this while you were at Bungie, since you got to mainly do the PvP stuff?
Yeah, I didn't get to see the improved loot drops in person. But you know, they explain what they're doing, and it's great because it's something I wasn't like expecting it. You know, I thought, you know, eventually maybe they'll change something here, but it's great. We're going to be getting, I believe, twice as many rewards as we have been getting.
What's twice as many as zero?
Yeah, right? So we get nothing, and now you get extra nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I assume that it'll be rare to see, like, you know, you have a great match, and then nobody gets anything, and then you're just like, what is going on?
What we're going to see is the last place guy on your team get 2 Hawk Moons.
There you go.
There's 2 parts to this, right? There's
no doubt that's going to happen.
We're going to get double Crucible marks. We're going to get double experience, but they're also changing the way they're going to reward items at the end of the match, so that the guys on the top are going to have a heavier
weighted role for getting the good gear.
Yeah. Which I love the first 2 parts. I love getting double Crucible marks. I love getting double experience. I don't really love having the top guys get the best gear.
Well, keep in mind, they're just getting a better chance to get the gear.
Agreed, but right. That chance overall is going to add up.
Has a problem with you having a problem.
That's okay, because not everybody is Triple Wreck. Actually, there's only 5 guys who play Destiny who are as good or better than Triple Wreck. The rest of us don't lead the lobby every time and would like also to have a good chance at gear.
Well, it's not just the top person, from what I understand. It's like the top 3 people, I think.
Yeah, top 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's cool that, I mean, everyone's going to have, you know, better luck, hopefully, than they have so far, which is good. And then, you know, there's some incentive there to perform better because, you know, there's, you know, possible greater rewards, which is great as well. And then, obviously, people that are good are going to feel like, you know, they're being appreciated a little bit more. Which is nice too, but you know, at the end of the day, there's still the fact that anyone can go in and get a Hawk Moon or the Alahorn, and they don't have to go in there feeling like, well, if I'm not good, then why should I play? Because I'll never get anything. Because you still will. It's just that if you happen to have a great game, maybe there's a chance that you get something better for it, which is nice. Cool thing is that we're gonna be able to get legendary items as rewards.
Yes, that's nice.
So that's cool. We get some faction weapons. I don't know if armor is going to be included, but that's really fantastic. Cool because, you know, getting an engram here and there is great, but, you know, you usually turns it to materials anyway. So
honestly, I love that when you're in a match and you see the rewards page, I would love to be able to inspect from that, because you see people on the enemy team get some stuff. But you can't look at it. And half the fun of a loot-based system is being able to inspect. So I don't know if they're going to add that into the Crucible reward system. I know they were talking about a new way of appreciating, you know, your rewards. Mm-hmm. I was taking that maybe to mean that you could inspect, because you can look at it. Oh, great, you got a whatever, right? But that doesn't mean anything, really. You could get a sniper rifle, and it could have crappy perks on it. So,
and then I want to make fun of you for it. You know?
Yeah. So you know.
But it would be cool if they, you know, expanded the end game screen somehow to show that. That would be very cool.
That would be nice.
Have fun with your mulligan shotgun.
Yeah.
Enjoy your cascade, nerd.
You crouch while you're shooting that. It'll be great. God, increase accuracy while crouched. Yeah, I mean, there's enough people in PvP walking around corners crouching. I just don't need, I think you need to get away with that.
Yeah, that's such a funny perk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on a tangent on it, but...
Yeah. So, one of the other things that got revealed today, and what was one of the big topics that we wanted to discuss on Twitter, was that the Taken King was recently trademarked, I believe, by Bungie. So, what we're thinking is that the expansion that's supposed to be coming in the fall, called Comet, that was just the like code name that Bungie uses so they can talk about it amongst themselves. But what it's called now is the Taken King, and I believe it's supposed to be a Hive themed expansion. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but the Taken King and what that kind of symbolizes within the Hive is pretty interesting. So, any thoughts on that?
I just love the fact that the description of it from the trademark company, it's the slashes of the V and the X are referred to as oxblood slashes.
Yeah.
Nice. Give me some oxblood.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
I'm just excited that I don't have to call it Comet anymore.
Yeah.
The Taken King expansion coming in September.
It's got a nice ring to it.
Other than that, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
A white screen with some ox blood on it.
It's a little difficult to speculate on it, just because, well, we don't got much to go on. We do know that an Activision CEO says, we'll have a major release later this year, which is the biggest addition the Destiny universe has seen yet. Okay, great. Cool, I can't wait to, you know, start hearing about it. Maybe get to go to another capture event or something. I don't know, but I'm obviously hyped about it, but personally, I kind of want to play House of Wolves right now.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure that whatever it is, we'll probably get a better look once E3 rolls around and then the hype train will begin.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm excited solely because, you know, the difference between House of Wolves and The Dark Below is the fact that you clearly get to see that a lot of the community feedback and stuff that people have asked for and they wanted, that Bungie was able to implement that and really make this, you know, for the players. And so that's very encouraging. And no doubt they're going to have to really, you know, they're going to have to impress everyone with a release. You know, it's going to go up against huge games like Halo 5 and all the other titles that will be coming out at the end of the year. So I'm very interested to see how all that progresses.
I want to go back to a comment that you just said, that everything that House of Wolves has been doing has pretty much been at almost the community's request. They've been taking this community feedback and just pretty much building this DLC on it. A lot of people were going, oh, you know, this content was already on the disc. No, you can't honestly tell me that all of these patch notes that we're getting, all of these changes that we're seeing.
You know, Patrick, they filed the trademark for this name on 4/28/15. If they're not, I know what you're saying about House of Wolves, but look, I think of it as a pattern of production, right?
Yeah.
If this stuff was already like done, they wouldn't be filing patents for it.
Correct.
They're working on it and developing it, and a lot of it is based off of community feedback. I mean, look at House of Wolves, flat out.
No, that's what I was saying. Like House of Wolves is just pretty much based on community feedback and.
Right.
A lot of people are going, you know, it's just entirely, you know, it was already on the disc. No. I don't believe that. Yeah, I know the
Prison Elders was not on the disc.
Yes, that was not on the disc. I would have found a way to get into it.
Yeah, so what do you think you're downloading all this data? You think it's just nothing?
Yeah.
That ball in the tower was not 6 gigs worth of data.
Oh, it's amazing. It lights up. It's got to be at least 3. At least 3. Six. Yeah, it's at least that's 3 gigs.
It changes color. Yeah, that's like 2 gigs right there.
You hit it and it goes faster or slower based on how hard you hit it. Come on, that doesn't happen. And just off of 1 gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting that the Taken King thing is coming out now because I don't envy Bungie at all because they have to push House of Wolves and it's got to wow people and they're doing a great job with the PR and everything right now. But basically a month later after it gets released, they have to start talking about this expansion in some way. Not necessarily announce exactly what it's going to be, but they have to, Activision wants them to start dropping gems about it, or thoughts at least, into the community, because that's going to be the fall release.
If there's one thing that Bungie is, if there's one thing that Bungie is good at, it's this generating the hype in the way that they're currently doing.
They've always been good at it.
They've always been really good at it. And just looking over my NDA, it's like, you can't talk about this. And when you start seeing, you know why you can't talk about it. It's because they want to do it at a specific time. Yeah. And it works so well. It generates the hype. People are so excited about it too at the same time. So yeah, I don't envy them.
I'm really curious to see what kind of packages they'll sell the Comet or the Taken King in. Like, will they do like a, you know, a Game of the Year edition that includes all the DLC plus Taken King for $60? Will they just sell Taken King for, will it be $60? Will it be $40? Will it be $20? Like, I'm really curious to see how they're going to package this, because it's going to be very important to people who've already spent $80+ or $100+ on Destiny. You know, what is this going to cost me? You know, this is now going up against the Black Ops 3 and the next Battlefield game or Battlefront, The Division. Yeah, I mean, there's some big stuff coming out this year. And I'm really curious to see how they're going to handle the pricing structure, how to bring in new players, but also keep old players. Like, they've got decisions
and also,
to make there.
And also have another season of content, you know, because technically the season pass was their season of content. This is year one. It's going to take us all the way through to this next big expansion. Is that also going to be like a $40 expansion plus a season pass for the rest of that year, for year two Destiny, you know?
Yeah.
Be interesting.
It's going
to
be
excited to see how they're going to handle it.
You know, it's hard to speculate what's going to be in there, but it is going to be very fun to watch them kind of maneuver the pricing structures. What to do with old exotics? What to do with old legendaries? You know, year one items, are they going to transfer over to year two? Are they going to be upgradable again in year two? Or are we going to move on to a whole new set? Like, there's all sorts of decisions they have to make, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they shape this.
Definitely agree there.
I think the answer is to really pull people in by letting you combine exotics, so I can have my Yallermoon that fires wolf
Yallermoon.
I want my Thorn Moon. Okay, thanks.
Yallermoon better be trending on Twitter by the end of tomorrow.
They need to have the Necrochasm shoot, you know, Wolfpack rounds. I'm just saying.
I still wouldn't use it.
Maybe if Necrochasm actually
still
fired rockets.
I would have just shot bullets instead of marshmallows.
That would be amazing. Just make it a, you know, a heavy weapon.
Did you guys see in the stream when they had the buff that increased primary weapon damage? Like, Broman put still on the sucks. Necrochasm, and well, his aim wasn't amazing with it. It was still, it's like I called it on our little Skype chat. I was like, it's still going to suck. It's still going to suck. Nothing can save it. And then sure enough, it still sucked.
Yeah. He regretted it later. He was like, why did I equip this?
You're going to like an Arc Burn Nightfall, and you're using it, and you're just like, oh my god, it's still bad.
Yeah.
How? Yeah. How? This was the sequel to the Vex Mythoclass. This is supposed to be like one of the crowning achievements, you know, for the game of
I
gears.
Worked my ass off to get you.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's funny too, is in PvP, You can spot it when you're being shot with a Necrochasm, because you can see your shield,
like,
and your health just
I'm
slowly dropping.
Or something. Yeah. In fact, sometimes me and my friends will go into Crucible and we'll do a challenge where we only use Necrochasm and we don't use any other weapons. And
such a handicap.
It's trying to win. Very difficult, but it's more so trying to get more kills and assists. That is the ultimate test.
Yeah, that's true.
But tell you what, if you have that assist bounty, then you're good.
All right, I don't consider you pro, you know, triple rec, until you can do Necrochasms only, no cap, win on control.
Okay. All right.
With Lone Wolf only. You have to get the Lone Wolf badge.
No cap. Challenge accepted. Nice. Nice. I want to watch. I'll be in the chat.
It's going to be a lot of tears, unfortunately.
5,000 Guardian tears collected.
Oh, my God. Jesus. All right, guys. I think we're nearing the end of the podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who joined here. I think we had some really really interesting discussions about Prison of Elders and some of the PvP things. We strayed a little bit on our topics, but I think we did a pretty good job here today. If you want to talk to me personally, this is Patrick Casey. You can talk to me at Holtzman_PD on Twitter.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at The Briar Rabbit on Twitter or on YouTube on the Briar Rabbit channel.
This has been Tefty Teft with Planet Destiny and my own channel, Tefty Teft Games, and you can talk to me at Teft on Twitter.
And this is Pope Bear, and you can find me on this podcast, but also we're doing a charity live stream on May 16th. That's with Resolute Gaming, and we're going to be raising money for Operation Supply Drop. So follow me on Twitter at Pope Bear, and you'll hear all about it.
And I am Ari Triple Rec Smith. You can find me on the Twitter sphere at Triple Rec, and of course on my my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/TripleRecTV. I'm always streaming something there. Usually Destiny these days. And happy to have you.
Hey. If you haven't had a chance to check out Triple Red's stream, it's so much fun. It is literally like, I usually have it going while I'm playing the game, and I have it on the corner of my, you know, just you guys talking in the corner. So I really appreciate it.
It's, you know, just try to chill, have a good time. And
yeah, like the music. The jukebox is cool.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all for coming. Thank you all for listening, especially. This has been Patrick Casey. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful time, and I will see you guys next week.